Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is Ryan Kimler. Ryan owns a accounting and finance firm called Financial Clarity, LLC, and they principally support attorneys. And Ryan's been a listener of The Law Entrepreneur for a long time, and we got together to discuss what are the important financial functions, you know, financial analysis functions that solo and small firm practitioners need to get into place in order to grow their law firms. If you're like most people, most solos like myself, you might have a bookkeeper that helps you get the data into your accounting package. But that's probably, or in many cases, the extent to which your financial support extends. And Ryan's company, Financial Clarity, takes it to the next step by adding accounting functions as well as fractional CFOs or corporate financial officers, corporate financial officer. So it's an interesting concept to consider. He really kind of intrigued me because I'm kind of the poster boy for, you know, persons who need more assistance with gaining financial clarity of their firm, because it's just not something I haven't spent a lot of time trying to understand. So if you're like me, this is going to be an important episode to pay attention to. So without any further delay, here is Ryan Kimler. Ryan Kimler, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you very much, Neil. I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you with us today. Ryan, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I have a background in accounting and finance. I have degrees in accounting and finance. And I started working out right out of college for a CPA firm. And we were working with small business clients, just doing, you know, basic bookkeeping and financial statement reporting. And, you know, one day I really came to realize I was working with an attorney and really came to realize that attorneys seem to really be underserved when it comes to their numbers and finance and their accounting, you know, from the accounting community. And, you know, that's really sparked a passion in me. And so I set out and started my own firm and started working with attorneys. And I've been doing that now for a little over 5 years and worked with a little over 200 law firms along the way. And it's definitely my passion. And that's how we're here today.
Well, I think it's so kind of you to refer to attorneys in this space as being underserved, because the fact of the matter is we're just poor with numbers. And so if that amounts to being underserved, it's probably the cause of why we're underserved. I can't say that's true for everybody, every attorney, but the general thought is, you hear attorneys say it all the time, I went to law school because I couldn't do math. I actually kind of liked math, so I don't know what my problem. I don't know what my problem is, but you know, I interviewed a woman many years ago when I first started the podcast, Pat Yevics, and she was the director of the Solo and Small Firm Practitioners Group here at the Maryland State Bar Association, and she gave a recommendation: three things that every solo attorney needs. And the very first recommendation from her was an accountant, a bookkeeper.
Sure.
Now, I recognize that those are two different functions, or can be two different functions, But that was her number one thing that a solo small firm practitioner needs. And in your travels, you're saying that there's a whole lot of folks out there that still need that function.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's important to, for all of us, you know, not just attorneys, not just accountants, to really specialize and do what we're good at. And, you know, for me, that's accounting and numbers. For you, that's law. You know, I would not go to court and represent myself if I got a DUI, right? I would be going to jail if that was the case, right? So, you know, I think it's really important. And, you know, when it comes to your numbers and your finances, I know that that's a very personal topic. And at the same time, I know, you know, you've got to have somebody that you can trust in there to do it and is going to take care of you. And sometimes I understand that can be hard to find. But I definitely, you know, would agree with that recommendation. I mean, bookkeeping and accounting for your law firm and not having you do it as the attorney, I think is really important.
Well, I'm going to expose my own weakness here and my own past poor transgressions because I'm comfortable doing so. And two, I think it's indicative of a lot of attorneys. Okay. So I think one of the big problems for solo practitioners in terms of hiring a bookkeeper, for instance, is they don't think they have enough cash flow to warrant hiring a bookkeeper. They can't see where, given the small number of cases and the little bit of revenue I'm generating as I start out, can't see where a bookkeeper would pay off in that scenario. What would your response be to that?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously there's the first initial argument of, well, you know, how many hours are you spending on your bookkeeping that you could be billing instead, right? Sure. I mean, that's an easy, obvious, you know, first front up argument. But, you know, beyond that, I mean, I would also say, you know, nowadays, the way that we work, especially after the pandemic, everybody on Zoom, there's a lot of bookkeepers out there and our firm included that, you know, we specialize in working with attorneys and we do so remotely and we're not full time. So the cost is very reasonable to, you know, even those solo law firms, that it's just down to the point where it makes sense to do it because you're getting a specialist and they're going to be able to, you know some metrics that you should be meeting as a law firm because they've worked with other law firms, which is also going to bring insight and value to the numbers that you have. And so, beyond that, like I said, I mean, having a specialist can really pay off and give you peace of mind that things are getting done correctly and they're handled properly and they're going to keep you out of trouble with, you know, the IRS or other regulatory agencies as well.
Well, I think also the argument for why you should bring on an accountant to help you right away is that now's the time to build that system when you don't have a lot of transactions going through the bank. You can have a better understanding of the flow and the list of accounts and how you do this double entry bookkeeping, which is still kind of, you know, magic to me.
Sure.
Better to build this from the ground up than to try and retrofit, you know, a huge box of receipts and transactions 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. If you take that to an accountant, it doesn't matter where you go, that's going to be very costly for you. Right. Where versus like you're talking, if you would have just built the systems in the beginning, you know, not only do you have the time savings and the peace of mind because it's getting done right, but you're going to save yourself, you know, that extra high cost in the long run. And also, as you're saying, you know, a lot of firms, you know, like ours and other firms that are out there, they're prepared to scale with you. So, you know, as you need more time and maybe even you get to a point where you're a multi-million dollar firm and you're needing like multiple accountants on your account, you know, that's possible with a lot of the firms out there. And you don't have to worry about hiring. You've got someone that's already familiar with your law firm and familiar with your account, and they're just bringing on additional help. So, you know, they're capable of scaling with you from solo all the way up to $5, $6, $7 million.
The other thing I've seen, and not me personally, but I personally know of folks who fall into this category are attorneys who they don't understand the accounting software, not even in the least little bit, but sure, they can understand, you know, the online statements that they're getting from the bank and the visibility that, you know, online banking provides now. And they think, well, that's all I really need. If I just manage my two checking accounts, my operations account and my trust account, and I can see everything, I don't really need an accounting package on top of that. And I just, it makes my skin crawl because I think you are just like dancing above the third rail on the subway.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, bank balance accounting, which is what I call it, right? Where you open your bank account, you look in your operating account and you're thinking, you know, like if you're looking to purchase something new, like some marketing or some other software, you open your bank account and you're like, yep, the money's there. I can afford to buy it. Right. Yeah. That type of bank balance accounting to me is very dangerous, you know, just because of lack of controls and for a whole long list of reasons. And just, you know, monitoring your bank account balance of, well, is it a good month or is it a bad month? Is my bank balance up or down? You know, doesn't really tell you the bigger picture, which is, well, why is it up or why is it down? And so I think that that is very dangerous.
Yeah. And I will admit at this point, I still don't really understand what the client liability account is in my accounting.
Sure. Package.
But my accountant does, or my bookkeeper does. So that's sufficient for me at the moment. Sure. Help me and share with our audience, then, you know, what is the difference between a bookkeeper and an accountant, or is there a difference?
Sure. So in some states, in order to be classified as an accountant, you have to have a degree or a certification. Okay. But operationally, the bigger difference there is, you know, a bookkeeper is someone that's going to be like reconciling bank statements and taking care of and classifying transactions. So they're going to be looking at like your credit card statements and your bank statements. Accountants have a higher level of complexity. They're typically the ones that are making journal entries if they're required. They're typically producing financial statements. Those are a couple of different things that an accountant is going to do that a bookkeeper is not. Accountants also oftentimes work on budgets. So that's about three things there that really separate those two roles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think a lot of times it's important for the attorney to understand what they're getting when they bring on an accountant or a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. Because I think the disconnect occurs when we have a difference in expectations. Like initially when I hired my bookkeeper, I thought I was going to get somebody who was going to help me set up the budget. Or someone who was going to be able to generate the reports that are capable of being generated by the accounting package and go over them with me and help me to gain understanding into the financial viability of my firm by going through those reports and, you know, really schooling me on the financial well-being of the firm. And yep. When I didn't get that, I was a little disappointed until I finally had the you know, guts to say, hey, how come I'm not getting this? Well, that's not what I do. This is not what you contracted for. Oh,
sure.
So there was a difference of expectations there. And I think that's one of the things that causes some attorneys to have angst here.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. And as you were saying there, typically, you know, bookkeepers are not, you know, producing those financial reports and they're not, you know, educating you, the client, on, hey, this is really what's going on with your business, which I think is what a lot of attorneys are really looking for out of their financials and out of their numbers is paint me the picture and tell me what's going on so that I can, you know, adjust from where I'm at to where I want to be and kind of have that transformation. If you're working with an accountant and you're getting those types of services where they're, you know, not just providing you with the financial reports, but they're also kind of diving in and they're doing an analysis for you and pointing you, you know, are kind of painting the picture for you, if you will, and pointing you to a direction where, hey, these are maybe some changes that you can make. That is really, you know, a high level service management accounting style that, from my experience, is, you know, that's not your everyday accountant. That's not just out there, you know, with somebody down the street.
Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you in part by my friend, Coach Mark Rockwell. Now, that name sounds familiar. You might remember hearing him as our guest on episode 277 of The Law Entrepreneur. And during that episode, we talked about a lot of different things. And one of the is the fact that, did you know that only 12% of the law schools provide instruction on how to operate a law firm? 12%. That's one of the reasons managing a firm is difficult for most attorneys, particularly if they have no prior business education or experience. Wouldn't it be great if someone could guide you and save you the time and money figuring out how to grow and manage a profitable firm? Well, I highly recommend you visit with my friend, Coach Mark Rockwell. Mark helps individual attorneys, as well as law firm leadership teams, implement the structure and processes they need to grow and operate profitably. As a lawyer and a businessman, Mark knows firsthand what it's like to face the challenges of growing a profitable firm. Mark can help you do the same. Go to his website, coachrockwell.com, and download the Law Firm Checkup. That's Law Firm Checkup, which Mark will review with you at no cost. You'll get great insights on how to build a healthy, thriving law firm. You can call Mark directly at 503-784-7205 or visit his website at coachrockwell.com. That's coachrockwell.com. And my thanks to him personally for sponsoring today's episode. If you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. For the most part, I think attorneys are pretty happy if they don't have to worry about balancing the, you know, the account. They can be comfortable knowing that the expenditures and the income items are all properly categorized, and that at the end of the year, the right information goes to somebody to prepare the taxes. If they get that much, I think 99% of the attorneys are, that's all I need. That's all I'm capable of being able to absorb. And yet there's so much more value to be gotten from your financial services professionals if you were to just, you know, explore that a little further.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's really one of the things that, I mean, I know we try to keep it simple for our clients. That's why, you know, I came up with the system 9 Simple Numbers. And it's 9 Simple Numbers that, you know, really need to be tracked and put on a scoreboard so that you know whether or not you're winning or losing. You know, if you don't have a scoreboard, you don't know whether or not you're winning or losing the game. So we definitely try to, you know, keep it simple. And, you know, I know that just getting financial reports and having to dig through more data is not, you know, a cup of tea for an attorney. You know, it's not their favorite thing to do, definitely not what they want. And so, you know, for our clients that are working with us and want more of a high level CFO service, you know, we use the 9 Simple Number process, and that really helps them, you know, drive decision making and have a more clear picture of what's going on in their business.
Well, that's what's going to be my next step here. Before we get to talking about CFOs, can you just kind of tick off what some of these 9 numbers are, and I'll be able to say, yeah, I got that. Nope, don't have that one. Don't know what that is.
And sure.
I think all of us could probably do our checklist here based on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So these 9 key numbers, you know, we use these across all of our law firms. And this will actually, Neil, this will actually be on a free giveaway that I'm doing for you and your podcast listeners. I have a I have a financial clarity dashboard that covers these 9 simple numbers. And actually it's in Excel and flows through to a easy 1-page scoreboard that's color coded and tells you where you're at.
Well, so, you had me with free and you really closed me with color coded. So
sure.
That sounds great. So tell me, what are these 9 numbers? I didn't know you had this plan. That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So these first 5 are what I call profit drivers. These all come from your profit and loss statement. I'm sure that these are very common, and these are ones that 95% of your listeners are going to have a good handle on.
Okay.
So the first one is revenue. Okay. Top line sales. Everybody's got that. The second one is cost of sales. Now, what's really interesting here is most people think of cost of sales and they're like, well, that typically comes from me selling a product and me buying that product. But actually, you know, me personally, I like to see if you're hiring a contract attorney to come in and do cases for your law firm, I like to see that put in cost of sales so you can, you know, track and have a percentage on, well, how much are my outside attorneys that I'm hiring in as contractors costing me? So I think that that's a really key profit driver as well.
Yep. Okay.
Gets down to your gross profit. Profit driver number 3, I like to put payroll expenses into a bucket. Profit driver number 4, I like to put all marketing and advertising expenses into a bucket. And then profit driver number 5 is all other overhead, your office, softwares, you know, all of those kind of things. Everything that's left, basically.
All right. So that gets us 5 of the 9.
It does. So these next 4 are cash flow drivers. So the first one is an increase or decrease in accounts receivable. So, you know, I think, you know, probably 90% of...
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell accounts receivable really is, honestly.
Sure. So I'm sure, you know, that that's something that a lot of your attorneys are looking at, though. Accounts receivable are basically the clients that owe you money, right? That's outstanding. So, you know...
Okay.
As they pay you, that accounts receivable balance is going to come down. The second cash flow driver, this is actually, you know, probably not even going to be relevant for most law firms, but is purchase or sale of assets. So if you're buying a building to put office space in or something like that, you know, that's obviously going to affect cash flow. So that'd be our driver number 2, but most of the time, you're probably not even going to use it. Cash flow driver number 3 is taking on or paying down debt. So, you know, originally when probably had a lot of listeners that took on PPP loans for their firm, or they got economic disaster loans, that would be, you know, taking on new debt. That's going to be a positive number. You're bringing in more cash. And then the 4th one is just owner's draw or owner investment. If you're, you know, putting money in, that's a positive impact to cash flow. If you're taking money out in draws, that's a negative impact. So those 4 cash flow drivers, if you start with your net profit, which is, you know, the number that you're going to get to after you go through your first 5 profit drivers, you're going to get down to your end cash flow for your law firm. So those 9 drivers, they really cover your profit and they cover what's my firm's cash flow. Is it positive or negative?
Yeah, I got a lot of holes here that I don't know the answers to some of those.
Sure. So most, so
I don't think I'm alone though, but so there you go. All right. Well, that sounds great. This, this financial clarity dashboard that includes these 9 profit and cash flow drivers. It's a way of tracking this. How frequently do you look at this? You look at monthly and quarterly?
Yes, typically monthly for, you know, all the clients that we're working with. We definitely look at it with them monthly at where their numbers are. Yeah, it's a report that we go over monthly.
All right. So now we alluded to this. We said something about CFOs or, you know, corporate financial officers. And I know that your firm provides fractional CFO services, which I think is really smart. I have a concept in my head that I think this comports to, but tell me, you know, what's the next step when we go from bookkeeping, accounting, when we're going to a fractional CFO? What are we doing there? Why are we doing it? And what are we getting from it?
Sure, absolutely. So most people, you know, think of a CFO and they think of big companies, right? They think Google, they think Apple. They're like, all these companies have a CFO. They're bigger, smaller. I'm not there in revenue. Maybe I don't need a CFO. When actually, you know, a CFO's job is to do all the analysis for you. So they're going to take the reports that the accountant produces. They're going to do the analysis. They're going to look over the numbers. They're going to highlight where your firm is strong and what weaknesses there might be. And then they're going to help you, you know, form actions to, you know, really and really give direction to fix those financial weaknesses. You know, CFO's job is their sole focus is really profit and cash flows and eliminating any financial weaknesses that the business might have. So their role is really a much higher level. It's directional. It's, you know, CFOs are definitely the top executive when it comes to accounting and financial departments, and good reason for it.
Yeah. The concept that I'm kind of seeing here is, you know, it's the CFO that's handling the whole financial aspect of how your firm operates. And I think for most solos, myself included, I was of the opinion, well, you know, if I had more clients and I was making more money, I wouldn't really need much help in understanding, because it, you know, it's like football team, winning solves everything. Well, not really. And making more money doesn't solve everything. You do need somebody to help guide you. And again, I think that's where we as attorneys, we're woefully short in that regard. And I think that's a service that we really should be well advised to consider.
Yeah, I like to call our CFOs here at our firm, we are CFO guides. We guide our clients along. We're with them every step of the way, whether they're, you know, growing and doubling their business every year, or whether they just have steady growth. You know, we're really their guide. We're their financial guide. And it's our job to, you know, make sure that we're pointing them in the right direction and helping them really meet their numbers and meet their financial goals.
Now, when somebody works with you, do they have to work, you know, from top to bottom with you, or can they shop a la carte? I mean, what I'm thinking is, again, I'm just going to keep using myself as an example, because as I mentioned, I think I'm the poster boy for poor financial management of a law firm. But, you know, I have a bookkeeper, I have an accountant, I have a tax preparer. Can I just work with you and get a fractional CFO support?
Yes, absolutely. We can do anything a la carte. So we have some firms that are smaller that are not to an area yet where we feel they are needing that CFO support. And then we have other firms that they have, we have a couple of firms that are big enough that they have in-house accountants and bookkeepers that are there like full time. And then we do the CFO work. So yeah, we sell everything a la carte. Yeah, and you can work with us in any capacity for any of those three positions.
So along those lines, you know, you've had all this experience, 200 plus law firms and you work with, can you point to a theme, you know, that stands out in your experiences? What's the biggest thing that attorneys are missing in this picture?
Sure. So I would say there are five challenges, and this is really great because I actually have this written out in one of my presentations that I give for CLEs. I have five challenges that all law firm owners face at one time or another. So the first one is the owners don't have clear goals. When I say that, I'm not just talking about a revenue goal. That's typically where most attorneys stop, is when they're doing their planning is, well, I want to have $500,000 in revenue next year, and I want to do X number of cases. But it goes beyond that. It's, well, okay, that's great. What are your profit goals and what's your ending cash flow goal? So owners don't always have clear goals. Challenge number two is there's really no simple way to understand what's working in the business and what's not working, what has you on track and what doesn't have you on track. And that's really where the need for, you know, my financial clarity dashboard really came from, was for to help attorneys overcome that challenge. Third one is, you know, there's no clear path to follow to have a growing and more profitable law firm. And for that, I came up with the one clear path, which we can go over in a little bit. There's six steps in the One Clear Path. It's also a part of the financial clarity dashboard that'll be there in the giveaway. So that's the third challenge, is just not having a clear path forward, which our CFO, you know, guide service really helps attorneys solve. The fourth one is attorneys, and this is actually for all business owners too. They're constantly battling a catch-22 situation. They want to build their business, but in order to build their business, they need more money. Typically, you know, that's to invest in either payroll or, you know, in the kind of people operations of the firm, or maybe that's more money to invest in marketing to get more cases. But in order to get that money, they need more business, but then they, you know, they want to grow the business. So it's really a catch-22. Mm-hmm. They want to grow the business, but they need more money. Well, in order to have more money, they need more business. So that's a common problem or challenge. And that's really number four. And then number five is, a lot of times we see, especially with solos, that the business relies too much on the owner or it falls apart. Yeah. And a good test for that is, you know, when was the last time you went on a 2 or 3 week vacation? And when you did, what happened to your law firm while you were gone?
Right. We sometimes refer to that as the hero mentality. You know,
absolutely.
Where the attorney is the centerpiece of everything, and without that attorney, you know, the business can't operate. Well, you've got me really intrigued now about this One Clear Path.
Sure. Yeah. Let's discuss it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to go over it.
I like step by step, you know, directions.
Sure. So step number one in the One Clear Path is to set clear targets. And that's, we typically do that on an annual basis with the clients that we're working with. We are setting targets for those nine simple numbers that I went over earlier in the dashboard. Now, the really important part of this step is when we go through and you set, you know, targets for your nine numbers, at the end, you really need to ask yourself, am I happy with those numbers? You know, we've worked with attorneys before, and I get down to the end and we get to, well, here's what your net profit is going to be. And then we get down to the end and here's what your cash flow is going to be. And I, you know, ask them, are you satisfied with those numbers? Does that really afford the kind of lifestyle that you want to live? And I've had some tell me no. And we go back and we start all over, you know, and we go about fixing those targets. So that's step number one, and that's really important. Step number two is, after you've set targets, is you update and you analyze your actuals. And that's going to be in your accounting, from your reports from your accountant. You're going to update and analyze, you know, where are my actual numbers at today? You know, when, you know, the month ended in January, I'm updating and analyzing those nine numbers. And then step three is you're going to create forecasts. So let's say your goal for the year is, I want $500,000 in revenue. You're, you know, let's say we close the first quarter and you're at 125. You're going to make a forecast and say, yeah, I still think I can hit my 500 number. You know, I still bill a lot in the fourth quarter. I still think I can hit my 500 number, or maybe you're going to fall a little short. But that's step three, is to create a forecast with where you think you're going to end the year based on what you've done. And so then step four is you're going to update your scoreboard, you know, based on where you think you're going to land, what colors should you be assigning to the numbers where you're at? There's probably going to be one or two factors in there that are really holding your firm back from meeting your profit and cash flow goals. So then from that, step five is you're going to create objectives. So if your revenue goal is short, you know, maybe it's, I need to increase my case intake. Maybe that's your overall objectives. And then step six is you're going to set next steps. Okay, well, if my overall objective is I need to bring in more cases, what are the next steps that I need to do in order to meet that objective? And so then, you know, that really keeps you on track, and it gives you one clear path to, here are the next steps that I need to do, and this is my overall objective that I'm trying to meet. And you come back to it on a monthly basis so that you can see, have I, you know, met my objective or have I not? And the other, you know, thing that we really like to dive into with our firms is, a lot of times, especially as you get into firms that are bigger than solo, you know, we'll have objectives and it's actually somebody else's responsibility in the firm. You know, maybe it's, mm-hmm. maybe it's that we need to reduce overhead, and you know, you're looking at some areas where you can cut some expenses and things like that. And, you know, we need to go put that on your accountant, and they're the one responsible. And so we, as the CFO, we really help, you know, the business owner see, okay, here are the objectives that need to be completed. Here's who's responsible. And it's not always them. It's not always, you know, the owner attorney. And here's the date that they need to have it done by. And we help them, you know, set that map and that foundation, and that gives them a path forward. And when we get done with our meeting, you end up with 2 one-page PDFs. One is your scoreboard, and it shows you where you're at. 2 is your objectives and your next steps, and that shows you where you're going. And that's one clear path forward.
Well, you got me intrigued, I'll tell you that. Because I think that one of the biggest challenges that we have as attorneys is that, you know, none of this is rocket science. It's kind of, it makes sense. I understand it. And I do it for a little bit, but I don't do it consistently. And then as the firm owner, there's nobody there to say, hey, Neil, we got two more weeks left in the quarter. Have you looked at these numbers? Have you, it's 2 weeks after the quarter ended. Have you generated the reports? Have you gone over the reports? Have you updated your, so I think that kind of accountability, and more than that, is just the guidance that you provide is really the thing that would help a lot of attorneys.
Sure. And you know, the other big thing is I know, you know, obviously time is valuable to everyone, but especially to you guys, you know, especially to attorneys, time is super valuable. And so, you know, we really try to keep things simple and also, you know, give you the direction and guidance that you need. And we try and keep our, you know, meetings every month to go over all this stuff in an hour or less. That's really our goal, is an hour or less. We're giving them, you know, guidance and direction. We're giving them one clear path forward, and they, you know, have their scoreboard to reference and their objectives to reference. And, you know, by all means, you know, if there's a point in the month where you're like, you know, I'm a little lost, I mean, by all means, call us. But when we're, you know, when we're going over the scoreboard and we're going over next steps, we try to keep those meetings down to an hour or less every month. And it keeps the attorneys we work with accountable. And, you know, if you don't take action on the objectives that we set forward and the steps that we've set together, we're going to know it, because your numbers are not going to be any different next month.
Well, that see, that's the big rub, is that you can't, I mean, I'm a master at gaming the system. I am an absolute professional at gaming the system, but when it comes to account, you can't really game it. It's there in black and white. You can't hide from it. So
that is right.
So that's the kind of clarity we need. Well, speaking of that, the company's called Financial Clarity LLC. What's the best way for people to reach out to you, Ryan, and to follow up on what you've had to say and offer today?
Sure. They can definitely email me directly. It's just ryan@financialclarityllc.com. You can also visit us on our website, which is just www.financialclarityllc.com. And then I'll also include I'll send over a link, and I'll include it as well. You can book a time on my calendar. I'm willing to give away a free financial assessments for your listeners as well.
Great.
If we determine that you're a good fit to work with us. Yeah, like I said, I'm willing to give away a free financial assessment. It's a win-win for both sides. You know, you guys having the financial assessment done, it's going to highlight any red flags or anything that's holding your business back. And on our side, it really gives us a good look into, you know, where you're at and how you're doing.
Okay. And how can we go about getting that financial dashboard?
Yeah, so we'll have that for free. I've got it in a Google Sheet. I will be sure and share a link to that with you as well. And you can put that in the show notes, and anybody, awesome. It will be view only. I don't want you guys, you know, changing the numbers on it, but you're definitely, it'll be available for you to, I think you can go to file and you can make a copy for yourself. And all you got to do is follow the link.
Great. All right. Well, Ryan, we'll have all that in the show notes. And I do want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. And you know that, you know, I think it's great, and it's a wonderful service that you provide, and lots of attorneys ought to take advantage of something, if not financial clarity, something along those lines, because I think it's really important. So with that said, I would say thanks again for being on The Law Entrepreneur, and we'll see you again next time, okay?
Yes, and thank you for having me today, Neil. It was my pleasure.
It's been great. Well, how about that? That's a wrap for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors once again, as usual, Daylight by Market Circle, Spotlight Branding, Ruby, as in Ruby Receptionists, and our newest sponsor, Security Plus. If you have a chance, swing on by our website at www.lawentrepreneur.com. You can check out a bunch of information and resources there. And if that doesn't satisfy your needs, swing on by our Facebook page or Twitter page. You can find those just by simply searching for The Law Entrepreneur. And if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and an honest review. If you find this podcast is helpful and that you're getting value out of it, it does help with our visibility and ensures that we're going to be there for another 5 years or so, as this has been quite the run. And I'm greatly appreciative of your interest in The Law Entrepreneur.